Hi, everybody. You're listening to Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. Tantra Cafe is a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I want to greet everybody in the Sanskrit way, Om Shanti, 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 which means I salute you and to peace, 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 peace within and peace without. You're listening to bbsradio.com, and if you want to get in touch with us anytime during the show, here's the numbers to call. If you're in the USA or Canada, you can call 888-228-4494, or worldwide, you can call 877-489-6350. If you want to send a message to live chat with me, you should go to BBS Fast Chat on the BBS.com website. Please do call in. Please do send a message if you have any questions for me or my guest this evening. So without further ado, let's just get started. I want to talk to you for a moment. Every week I have an appetizer going along with the Tantra Cafe theme. And tonight, I like to demystify Tantra, as you know. And tonight is no exception. My theme for the past week has been slowing down. Slowing down. Now, I live in New York City, and slowing down in New York City is not that easy a thing. Most people are like racing, 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 racing. So I want to address slowing down because that is one of the aspects of Tantra, one of the reasons that somebody would be drawn to Tantra. Rather than rushing in your life or rushing through sex or rushing through anything that's sensual and wonderful, Tantra would have you take a look at that and slow you down. If you just take a look at tantric art, I don't know how many of you have seen something that's a piece of tantric art, but usually you'll see a Buddha with a consort seated in his lap. That's the most famous of tantric art. You'll see something called Yab Yum, where there's the male figure seated in lotus position with a female figure seated in his lap with her legs wrapped around him. And they're gazing into each other's eyes. And it looks like they're, you know, they're very peaceful. It doesn't look like banging sex, you know. It doesn't look like something that people do normally if they, you know, are so kind of thrown to do that. It looks like these people are in this blissful, ecstatic embrace. And they're not, you know, banging each other away. They're just sitting there beautifully in meditation. And you could actually go for hours like this if you learn some Tantra. You could slow everything down to time, no time, space, no space, as if you were kind of floating in the galaxy. So I want to just let you know that that's what's possible in Tantra. Rather than some of you thinking it's something kinky, it isn't that. It's actually a way to make it so sacred and so honoring that you do lose all time and space and you float together on the sea of thousand petals of lotus. So that's my appetizer for this evening. And without further ado, I want to introduce now my guest who I'm thrilled to have on the show tonight. Her name is Sherry Winston. And Sherry is the founder of the Center for Intimate Arts. And she is an amazing person. She has a lot of initials after her name, which we're going to find out. So I'm going to ask her about those things when we get into it together. This will suffice. Sherry is a medical professional. She's a sexuality educator and an author. And she's definitely on a mission to transform sexuality. And I want you to know that I took a short course of Sherry's. I learned a lot. It was a course called Maps of the Clitoris. And I learned things I never in my life knew, and I thought I knew a lot. So, Sherry, I want to thank you for being here tonight and welcome you to my show. Hi.
Hi. I'm so pleased to be here. I'm really delighted that you have me on this evening, Laurie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being able to be on the show. Now, where am I calling you, or where are we calling you from? Where are you tonight?
I'm at home in Kingston, New York, which is in the beautiful Hudson Valley north of New York City.
Beautiful. Okay. And I'm on Long Island. So we're both in the state of New York tonight. And our station is in Northern California, in paradise.
Isn't technology wonderful?
It's fantastic. So I have so much to ask you because your bio, your resume reads like an entire book. There's so many things that you've studied and so much that you're into. So, you know, I usually start by asking my guests, how did you get into Tantra? And I'm asking you that first, but somewhere in that, tell us all, you know, your progression, because I know that your progression in the area of human sexuality and the things that you know and the things that you can talk about are reams of stuff. So how did you start, and how did it lead you to Tantra, and then where did it go from there and like that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it started when I was about 20 years old, and I had become a massage therapist, and I knew there was something I was doing next. I wasn't quite sure what it was, and I had a client who became pregnant and asked if I would go to her birth, and she was having a home birth with a midwife. And that was it. The light bulb went off, and I saw my calling, and my calling was to become a midwife. And so the first 20 years of my career was about birth and women's health. And I thought I was going to be doing that for the rest of my life. I thought I was going to be being a midwife and catching babies and caring for women in that way. But much to my surprise, about 10 years ago, that calling came to an end. And I have always taught classes. I went through a whole progression. When I first became interested in midwifery, I started apprenticing at home births. I became a childbirth educator. I started being a professional doula, which is somebody who's a professional labor support person. I was in the world of home birth and alternative healing and holistic healing and really on that fringe. At a certain point, I decided I wanted to become a legal midwife, and in this country, in order to do that, you have to become a registered nurse first. So even though I didn't actually want to be a nurse, my calling was strong enough that I decided I could stand to go through that process. So I became a registered nurse, and then I went back to school for a few more years to become what's called a certified nurse midwife, and that also includes being a gynecology practitioner. And then I did that for many years. I know, it was great. I mean, it was one of those things that I would never want to do it again.
Yeah, but, I'm tired thinking about it.
I was young. Thank goodness I did it when I was young. And I loved what I did, and I loved working with women, and I loved educating along with the clinical practice I did, and I was always a teacher. So even before that, when I was a massage therapist, I had started teaching classes about massage for pregnancy and infant massage. So whatever else I was doing with my clinical practice, I always taught classes on the side. And when the calling to be a midwife started to end, I was teaching along with childbirth classes and breastfeeding and those sorts of things. I had started teaching a small handful of classes that I called women craft classes. And that was a class called Vaginal Ecology and another one about menstrual health. And the Maps of the Clitoris class that you referred to, I had started teaching then. And at that point, I started my first sexuality class for women. And I had the most amazing time teaching this class. I realized at that point that I wanted to do more of that. And then I started teaching a class for men about women's sexuality. And then I started teaching a class for everyone about how to have better sex. And one thing led to another, and now I have a curriculum of over 45 different classes that range from things like the anatomy class that we were talking about, all sorts of classes about how to have better sex, and a whole series of classes about relationship and how to be in conscious relationship and how to do that well. And so it's just grown and expanded. And what I now realize is that those 20 years I spent doing birth work on my knees at the altar of women and birth and babies, that was really my apprenticeship for the work I do now.
Yes, yes.
And
let me just go back to this for a second. 45 classes and workshops. You have a repertoire now, currently, a curriculum of 45
yes.
classes and workshops. Sherry, that's like the work of 5 people.
You know, I've got probably another 25 in my head that I haven't gotten down yet. It's true. I've got one class about touch, and I've got a whole touch curriculum that I want to develop. So I'm not done yet.
I am not done yet.
I've got lots more that I want to do because there's so many things in this area that people need to learn, and there's very few places in our culture for people to go to learn that.
Yes.
And when I realized that's where my next calling was and that's what I was doing, that's when I really started studying Tantra and Taoist sexuality practices. I was also privileged to have some teachings from a Cherokee medicine priest who was passing on some of the teachings from that culture because a lot of the native people in this country had sacred sexuality teachings that they passed on. In fact, they called those teachers the fire priest or the fire priestess. So I studied all of that, and that combined with my medical training, that combined with the alternative healing that I did, and the work I did with women and the process of birth is really what created, I think, my fairly unusual and unique approach to what I teach.
Yeah, well, you are unique, there's no question. You're fun, you're funny, and you are so, it's like you're clinical with laughter. You know, I remember you showed we're jumping ahead a little bit, but it's okay. I remember that you showed a drawing, which is a true life representation of women's genitalia, and then you compared it to what you considered to be false representation, both in medical books and in massage books. And I was, I almost fell over in my chair when you did that. And I was so happy to have you describe what was wrong, you know, and how once again women were portrayed wrongly, in a culture that doesn't even want to deal with the reality of women and women's genitalia.
Well, this is one of my soapboxes. So you're just put me up on it. So I'm going to go with that. The fact is, in our culture, we have an incomplete understanding of the basics of genitalia, and actually for both men and women. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that there are parts that women have that are not in most of the books, not in the sexuality books, not in the medical books, not in the midwifery books. And even though I studied anatomy multiple times in my various trainings, the information that I gathered and learned and put together, I didn't get from any of those places. So what we have is a really remarkable situation where we've got a mental model that's incomplete and incorrect, and it does us enormous disservices in so many different ways. And I will add that our understanding of male genitalia has also got some problems. So this one isn't even just about women. There are different issues. But what it comes down to is it's like we're trying to be musicians. We're trying to learn how to play this instrument of ourselves, and we don't even know where all the parts are. It's like trying to play the piano without knowing where half the keys are.
And no one will tell us.
Because they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that there's a conspiracy to keep this information from us. It's literally that almost nobody knows this information. It's there, but you have to, I feel really blessed because of my unique background that I came across the various parts of this picture in different places and was able to put it together. And what's interesting for me, from my own personal experiences, once I put it together, once I understood all the parts I had, all the parts I really have, including the good ones that aren't in the books, And I understood how they were connected and how they worked together. My experience of my own sexuality expanded dramatically. And I realized at that moment that suddenly my experience had become congruent with my mental map. And it was only when that happened that I was able to look back and realize it hadn't been before.
Mm. That's so powerful. That's just so, so powerful. It's like feeling, it's the only thing I can, that pops into my mind that I can compare it to is like when someone's feeling crazy because they're experiencing something and all the authorities are saying, no, that can't be because this doesn't exist. And yet, in fact, there's a whole thing going on, a whole experience going on that doesn't jive with the current thinking or whatever. It's crazy making. So for you to say that your experience matched your mental map, I mean, that's just like, it's a feeling of being whole. Like when we talk about holistic living, it's a feeling of being whole. It's amazing that you just feel like a pioneer to me. I mean, when I met you, I just said, oh, my God, we got to get you on DVD. We have to get your stuff everywhere. There isn't anybody that I know in my world. You know, I know a lot of people. There's nobody that I know that I don't want to know about you and to have you, to have a DVD of you pointing, you know, and showing people their parts and then they work.
It's in production, actually. I'm working on a DVD, an e-book, and a print book of this information, and then I've got a big book that should be published next year, which has this information about the male genitalia, and then really the core of my curriculum. So
fantastic.
I'm going to be coming out with a major book next year, but in the near future, I'm hoping to have the DVD done by the end of the year, and it's going to be all of this information, and I am thrilled to finally be getting it in this form so I can reach so many more people. I mean, I'm teaching another Maps of the Clitoris class in the city in September. I'm going to be teaching it down in Orlando, Florida in early October.
Hold on a second because we're going to go to break for a minute, but then I'm going to tell, when we come back, I'm going to let people know how they can get in touch with you and find out your schedule and stuff, and then we'll continue on. So hold on a minute. If you've just joined us, if you're just listening and tuning in to Tantra Cafe at this moment, I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. My guest this evening is Sherry Winston, and Sherry is talking about some amazing things. She has 45 classes that she teaches about human sexuality, and she really debunks not only myths that people believe, but things that just are not even known and have been discovered by her in putting together information. We're on bbsradio.com, and we're about to take commercial break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of East Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/ Tantra Cafe. Go there now.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about, talk about, live for is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you're just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. So right now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. You can go to www.sexandhappiness.com. Order now. You owe it to yourself.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Okay, we're back with Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. You can call in this evening if you have any questions. It would serve you to call in because Sherry is like this amazing wealth of knowledge. Sherry Winston, my guest. Let me tell you the numbers to call in, 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, or 877-489-6350 worldwide, or you can send me a message on Fast Chat on BBSradio.com. Anyway, I'm here with my guest, Sherry Winston. She teaches 45 different classes to women and men on empowering ecstatic sexuality and creating conscious relationships. She's amazing in person. That's why I have her on my show tonight as my guest. She is funny, and she makes us so conscious of our bodies in the most fun and wonderful way. So we're back. Sherry, you just started to get into your schedule when we had to go for a break. So let's tell people how they can reach you and what they can find. What's your website?
Well, there's two different ways to get to it. You can use my name, SherryWinston.com, and you just have to spell Sherry right, which is S-H-E-R-I. And the other way to get there is Intimate Arts Center, and that will get you there also.
Okay, IntimateArtsCenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, so my fall schedule is up there. I'm going to be in Toronto and Orlando and New York City twice and in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. So I'm traveling around. What we were talking about just before that also was the DVD that I'm working on of the Maps of the Clitoris class and an e-book version and all kinds of other versions. Because I know the truth is, no matter how much I travel around and teach, I'm not going to be able to get this information out to the numbers of people who need it. Unless I go into those other forms. So it's going to be available in lots of forms, the information from that class, as well as lots of the other stuff I teach.
Well, as soon as the books come out, as soon as that stuff comes out, I'll have you back on the show. We'll talk about it later, but I'll have you back on the show so we can let people know at last it has arrived. They can get it like that.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
So let's go back to your practice. You mentioned before we broke that when you finally realized the experience that you were having with your body and you noticed that the parts you actually had could be delineated and distinguished, then it made you more whole, like your experience got mapped with what was already mapped in your mind. Tell us a favorite practice that you have or how else this, once you started to find yourself swaying towards Tantra, how has that affected your life and are there any favorite practices that you do?
Well, of course, since I have so much material, it's always hard for me to answer those questions because there's so many things I could tell you. I'll come up with some things, trust me. But I do want to sort of say that in a lot of ways, there were so many steps along the way for me. And what I would really like people to hear about this is, again, my analogy about learning to play an instrument and that our sexuality is both natural, the biological evolutionary template, we've got that part, but it's also learned, and we've got this amazing ability to learn. And just like playing an instrument, you don't become a virtuoso overnight. So it's little steps, it's little things, it's exploring and experimenting and trying one thing and trying another and checking it out and seeing what really works for you. And I'll give you a specific example, but the one other piece I really want to say, and this refers back to what we were talking about before the break also, is about this feeling of being whole or of being broken, or of being incomplete or broken, or crazy. Mm. And this is a really big point around sexuality, because I dealt with women so intimately in a clinical setting for so many years. I heard so many women telling me that they felt broken, that they felt crazy, because their experience didn't match up with these cultural models. And so while I'll give you a more concrete practice, the truth is the change, the transformation, the learning and the growth actually are practice of your mind. It's about learning new models. It's about not accepting the idea that you're broken, you're damaged, you're crazy. And so this is a really important part of our learning is unlearning these ideas and knowing that it's not you that are messed up, it's these cultural models. And so stop blaming yourself, stop feeling bad if you can't have some of the experiences we might talk about when we talk about expanded sexuality. These are things we can learn how to do. But don't feel bad if you haven't learned it yet. It's like if you haven't learned to play the piano yet, it's okay. You can learn if you want. And so I think when we're starting to learn these practices, like learning to play an instrument, you want to start with the simple, basic things. And what's interesting to me, because I've studied Tantra and Taoist practices and Native American practices, is that all of these sacred sexuality cultures had some things, some basic foundational practices that are the same. And this makes sense because they were about what it means to be human and how human beings operate. So I think the core practice to start with is with your breath. And the reason I think that we want to start with our breath is because our breath is tied in with our consciousness and with our awareness. And so the simplest practice, and it's the one I go to more often than any one other thing I do, is to bring myself back to my breathing and to use that to center myself, to get present in my body if I've gotten distracted and wandered off in my mind, as we're all of us, I'm sure, are wont to do, and also to recognize that my breath can really guide my state of awareness, my state of consciousness, because arousal is an altered state of consciousness. And our breath is the bridge. It's the physical, mental, and emotional bridge between our conscious and our unconscious mind. One of the things about our respiratory system is it's the only system in our body that's innervated by both our autonomic nervous system. That's the autopilot part that's just doing things like running your liver, the stuff you don't have awareness of and you don't know about. And it's also innervated by our voluntary nervous system, which is the part we control. And because it's the only system where these two parts of our nervous system overlap, it's why it's the key and the bridge and that foundational practice to help us stay present, to increase our arousal, to expand our orgasm. And all of these tools, and I think we all have this toolkit in our body and our mind and our heart and our spirit. And all of these tools have a way that we can use them by ourselves as well as a way we can use them with partners. So the simplest practice and the foundational practice is bring yourself into your breath. If you're having solo sex, use that to bring yourself into your body and then experiment and explore what happens when you breathe faster, what happens when you breathe deeper, what happens when you send your breath into different parts of your body. And that same tool you can use with a partner when you want to get connected, when you want to get on the same page, when you're starting to have sex but you're distracted and you're thinking about the day and you're not feeling close, that same practice can be used to bridge the gap between two different people. So if you start breathing together, it's going to bring you into that harmonic oscillation, which is a great place to start your encounter and a wonderful place to return to throughout your experience.
That is
How's
so
that?
Powerful, so beautiful. You know, it's interesting, my last four guests, some of them were a single guests and a few were pairs, and each one of them said, oh, our favorite practice is breathing. And each one of them gave a different slant
mm-hmm.
on breathing and how they breathed together. And
mm-hmm.
then last week my guest was Barbara Krellis, and she talked about, and we ended the show with her doing a charging breath to charge the body full of its vital life force. So here you are again, and I hope my listeners are getting the point that that Tantra has so much to do with breathing and breathing practice and getting present to ourselves and the expansion of ourselves and the aliveness of ourselves and the miracle that we are, and then bridging with a partner if we have one or when we have one, getting it together through breathing. So thank you so much for talking about that again. I hope people are getting the point.
You know, it's one of the things that, if you think about it, think about a time when you were really tense or anxious or nervous. And that advice that somebody gives you when they say, just take a couple of deep breaths. So most people already know that we can use our breath to change our state of consciousness. So it's really about just sort of taking that and going, oh, well, if I can use my breath to calm down, what else can I use my breath for? Oh, I can use it to get more excited. I can use it to build my arousal. I can use it to build my energy and my vitality. And so it doesn't surprise me in the least that many of the Tantra teachers focus on that, because it's the foundational practice. And just back to my midwifery roots, the thing about breath is when babies get born, there's this moment that when they're born, before they take that first breath, where they're not there yet. And then they take that first inspiration and something happens, something enters. And we're going to keep breathing until we stop, and then we're dead. And there's something beyond the physical. There's something about that connection to the spirit, the connection to this incarnation that is part of that, of our breath, that our breath is the foundation of. And it's one of our most powerful tools, and it can be used for anything. It really can.
Well, you know, I think it's Latin. The Latin word for breath is spiritos. Maybe it's the Greek word. It's spiritos.
Mm-hmm. Spiritos. And inspiration, of course.
Yeah. So
it's
that means breath, breathing.
Right.
To
exactly.
be inspired until we expire.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I've had guests on the show who are into physical immortality, and they will be guests again in 2 weeks, my guests in 2 weeks. And we're now in a conversation of saying, well, we're doing all these practices, and we're making ourselves whole, and we're making ourselves connected, and we're learning how to expand our awareness, expand orgasm, expand all these things, this pleasure. Why would we want to die? You know, why would we just accept that flat out like death is the end? So where I'm now inviting people to have a conversation past all that to say, well, maybe we want to stay alive. So
well, yeah, but you know what? I mean, I want to stay here as long as I can, because it's really good here and I like it.
Yeah.
You know, but there's this part of me that's just really curious as to what happens next.
Okay, well, I'm not joining you on that path, but I...
Oh, I can wait. I'm happy to wait. I really like it here. I'm in no hurry to find out.
Good. Don't find
out. And yet, you know, because even though I predominantly work with birth, I've also done some work with dying.
Yeah.
And as a, again, as a midwife, as my foundational practice, I think we have such a fear of death in our culture.
Yes.
That, well, for one thing, I think it actually interferes with a lot of people's ability to live and enjoy their lives while they're here. But I'm not quite sure that death is as scary as we think it is in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's a whole nother subject.
It is. Meanwhile, while we're here, I want to make
while
the best
here.
Of it.
Yeah.
And I want to really, you know, really enjoy myself. And really, I think one of the purposes of life is to learn and grow and evolve and to reach our potential. You know, in the realm of sexuality, I think, again, we've got this cultural model that I think is incredibly limited. I think most people have no idea what their sexual potential is. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I agree. That's why I started the show tonight talking about slowing down and that there were other possibilities besides banging each other, you know, like you know, the people getting carried away. Like there is a possibility of getting carried away like that, but then there's the whole other idea of just slowing down and exploring and rejoicing and celebrating in the how long things can last, how prolonged, how time and space can shift when we're not in a hurry and there's nowhere to get to, you know. So, yeah, and that's just only one aspect, you know. But that's why I started the show like that, to debunk something and say, well, hey, there's a whole lot of different ways this can go. And I know in your classes, you teach people about so many things they didn't know, so many places where they can be touched that they didn't even know there was something there to touch.
Right.
And and then things like you talk about, I remember specifically talking about erectile tissue and where it's found, so many places in the body where it's found that people, and that it feels good to be touched and it responds, and how people, you know, just don't even know that there's so much of it.
Again, yeah, people are not playing their whole instrument because they just don't have a clue. I mean, it's a really sad thing. I mean, our culture has got a very limited model of what sex is and what's supposed to happen, and it's goal-oriented. It's a heterosexual intercourse-focused model, and
right.
And so many people are so focused on that goal that they're completely missing out on the journey and completely missing out literally on all of the amazing places you can go. And yes, you can go into the place of that wild, primal, animal, pounding kind of sex, and that can be great fun. But if that's the only place you go, it's going to get boring. When you start realizing, you know, you can go to these ecstatic, transcendent, blissed out places. You can go so many different places with the sexual trance journey, but most people don't even know those places exist.
Yeah, and once you know, why be a one-trick pony? That would be like my, you know, my question is, you know, human beings need to juice things up. They need to create. They get bored. And they are boring themselves, and they don't even know it, you know. And then they're seeking, you know, a million other partners. They have to switch and change and do all. And you know, maybe they don't. Maybe they just, you know. And I'm not for or against any you know combination of people. I'm just saying, you know, maybe people are just boring themselves, and they could. There's so much more that they could experience. We are going to need to break in a moment. We're going to take another commercial break, and then we'll resume our conversation, and we'll give people something to go. We'll give them some Tantra Cafe takeout. So if you've tuned in, this is Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. You're listening to bbsradio.com. And my guest with me this evening is Sherry Winston, and she is the founder of the Center for Intimate Arts, and that's a very appropriate name because she really is an artiste when it comes to all this. So we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. I, Lori Handler, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India, November 19th to December 1st, 2008. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience Jaipur, the pink city, and visit the sacred lake of Pushkar. Then, at dawn from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. You'll tour Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment, and then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples of Khajuraho. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paraganj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, you'll learn tantric techniques and principles, and I promise you'll feel a tremendous sense of well-being as we delve into these simple yet potent tantric tools. Please note that no previous experience with Tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India. And I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
For more information about this exciting tantric tour of the heart of India, contact Lori at butterflyworkshops.com or write to her at info@butterflyworkshops.com.
Well, I hope you're listening.
Well, we're back, and you've just been listening to the song Darbari NYC, which is by Prem Joshua on his Shiva Moon CD, one of my favorites. Love that CD. And I use that Darbari NYC a lot in the breaks in my classes when we take a break. It's a pretty mellow, kind of chill song. It really makes me feel like a DJ when I listen to it. Anyway, I'm back with Sherry Winston. And you can reach Sherry Winston at her website, sherrywinston.com, and you spell Sherry, S-H-E-R-I, winston.com. And, you know, we talked a little bit before, right before the break, we were talking about people getting bored with their goal-oriented sex life. And Sherry and I are going to talk a little more about that. Like how, I'm just going to say, Sherry, you know, give us some ideas. Like, this would be the Tantra takeout portion of this evening. Like, people could take something to go from here. So tell us how people can keep their relationships juicy and fresh.
And I'll say that's really the key to keeping your relationship going. I think of sex as the glue and the lubricant of long-term relationship. And whether your
I like that.
Thank you. Whether your relationship with one person or multiple people, if you care about these people and you want to stay in a relationship and you want to keep it yummy, you got to work at it, and you have to break out of those patterns that you get into and expand beyond our cultural ideas of what sex is and what sex can be. And I really encourage people to think of everything they do as an experiment, that they are their own laboratory, and that we're constantly in this process of running those different experiments and then noticing what happened and deciding if it worked for us or it didn't and what we can do to make it work better. So I'm really encourage people to be really in this constant process of figuring out what worked, figuring out what was good, figuring out how to have that happen more, and really expanding what's possible. And I think that one of the keys to staying excited by your partner is to do things together that are new. We need novelty and excitement if our sex is going to stay juicy. And it's a wonderful thing when we are with a partner and it gets comfortable and we care about each other, but we can easily lose that wildness and that willingness to try different things. So I could suggest innumerable things at this moment, but since we started out talking about slowing down and we also talked about breathing, one of the techniques I would suggest for partners is to take little breathing connection moments. And that can be in the morning when you're leaving for work, that instead of just saying goodbye or a peck on the cheek, you actually stop, look in each other's eyes, and breathe together for 30 seconds. It doesn't take long, a minute. That when you first come home and you see your partner, that you take a moment, embrace each other, and breathe together. And when you're having sex, at certain points, if you can create a signal or a code word, it can just be the word breathe, it can be a kind of a tap or a rhythm or a gesture, so you've got a little signal, but it's a way of reminding each other this would be a good moment to connect with each other through our breath. And it can be a slow breath, it can be a fast breath, you can use it with any type of breathing that you're doing, but to take that moment, bring your awareness into your breathing, and do it together. And particularly if you start to practice that when you're in the middle of either intercourse or extremely hot other forms of sexual play with your partner, when you are at a really high, hot place, if you pause and breathe and go into that stillness, you will find yourself going to amazing places. And so that's my takeout. Breathe, stop, pause, breathe. That's it.
Well, that's
my takeout.
That's wonderful, Sherry. Thank you. I mean, that is just, that's absolutely wonderful. I mean, that's the essence of Tantra. People, you know, sometimes I say to people that, you know, your mind, I call it the monkey mind. Your monkey
yep.
mind is not going to allow you to believe that Tantra is this simple. You think it's got to be more complicated. It's got to be like rocket science. But, you know, if Tantra is over 6,000 years old, they didn't have rockets then, and they knew that the secret to everything was to just slow down for a minute, take a breath. And pause, and that's it's just so important. You know, in my classes, I teach various cobra breaths and different things that also have been around for, you know, for eons. And it becomes so sacred, you know, to sit with someone and sit in their lap. Actually, like I was describing before, you know, in the yab yum pose, and just look at someone and breathe with them. And time can go away completely, like all time and all space and everything can just go away, and hours can pass, and people can just get so lost in it, they think like 1 minute passed, and 3 hours can pass all at the same time. So
Thank you so much for that. I mean, that's just, thanks for slowing it down for us, letting people know, yeah, take a breath together in the morning, take a breath together in the evening, take a breath at various points during a sexual encounter. How,
you
again,
know,
let's
you
see.
You know, here's one other thing.
Yeah.
The more you practice stuff, the easier it gets. So if you take that breath together, a couple breaths together in the morning or throughout the day or during the evening, if you practice it then, it's going to be easier to do it when you're being sexual.
Yes. And even if you laugh at first and it seems funny. Like,
I was listening
to the radio and this woman said, we should just stop and breathe. That's so stupid. You know, like whatever somebody might say about that, you know. Once they get started, even if they laugh, it just becomes easier and easier, and it becomes the thing we want to do. You know, I tell people to make love in the unknown and you know, to just practice letting go of everything they think they know about it. And, of course, it all starts with breath. So I'm so glad you shared that. I'm so glad you instructed that. Now, tell us about this ebook that you have that gives people, what is it about and how can people get it and what will they get?
Well, it's a free ebook, and for those who don't know, that means you go to my website, you click on the link, you get an email with a link, you click on it, you get a PDF, and you can read it on your computer, you can print it. It's called Orgasmic Abundance, and it's basically seven simple ideas, seven simple practices to expand your ability to get aroused and start to have orgasms that are bigger and better and longer and more full body and more ecstatic. So it's about starting to move into your orgasmic potential, which I think most people haven't even begun to touch. So it's a little primer, and it's just something I give away to people. I ask people, in fact, to pass it around, share it with your friends, because, well, I think the world needs a lot more orgasmic abundance than we have right now. So, yes, you can get that from my website. And, you know, it's a tasty tidbit to play with. So it's a great little starter.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Sherry, I want to thank you. I want to just really, really thank you for being my guest this evening. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. And I say pleasure with capital letters. And,
Pleasure. It's such a pleasure to be here and talk to you. It's so much fun for me.
So, and I'll have you back on the show. I'll invite you back. You have to let me know as soon as the book is published and the DVD comes out, and we'll talk with people. And in the meantime, you'll keep me posted so I can get people to get those things from you. And we're gonna be signing out in a moment. I just want to let our listeners know, that I thank them. I thank you all for tuning in and listening to the show. I thank Eve's Garden, my sponsor. I'm so excited to have you back. And please go to evesgarden.com / Tantra Cafe for all your erotic shopping needs. That's evesgarden.com/ Tantra Cafe. And
if I can just If I can just interject one thing, Eve's Garden is starting to do classes, and I'm going to be teaching a bunch of classes there this fall.
That's fantastic.
So, isn't that great? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's good news for people in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to also let you know that next week, my guests are going to be three new students of Tantra, relatively new students of Tantra. They're going to be talking about their experiences. And in 2 weeks, that would be, let's see, the show with the students is going to be on the 13th. And 2 weeks from now will be Jim, Bernie, and Chuck, the Immortals, People Unlimited, will be back on the show for those people who are listening. We got really wound up there, and we have some subjects to return to, so please be listening in for that. And I'm signing off. My love to you. Thank you for being with us, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening to Tantra Cafe.